Today's scripture reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, starting with verse 11 through 18. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people, and by the signs that it allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to be here in your house. I just pray for this time as Pastor Tim provides a teaching lesson, the message from this passage. Lord, may it grant us better understanding, and may it just bless our hearts, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, and just pray forgiveness where we fail you. These things pray in your name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Abby. Awesome song. Thank you, Tim. All right. I'm enough room for that. You ready? You know, just to kind of remind you, there are several different ways to take Revelation, and we have been taking a way which takes it as the first readers would have taken it. And the way we've been interpreting it probably wouldn't make for a great novel series or great movies which have been done. And you have heard things probably you've never been taught before, if you've been taught at all. And especially when we get into this, like 666 and the mark of the beast and all that, you know, and how they're going to put a chip in you and follow you along and so forth. You're going to hear a little bit of different things, and you can believe how the Spirit of God leads you, but I'm going to stick with scriptures. Oh, that was kind of a dagger, wasn't it? I just think this is the only way to apocalyptic surgery. I'm around the hospital too much. Way to interpret the scripture is symbolically. That's what the book of Revelation is. And so that's how we're approaching it. So we're just going to dive in as we have been. And today we're going to talk about the second beast. We had the first beast 2 weeks ago. Today, the second beast, his job is to promote and to deceive. Have you ever been deceived? Doesn't that feel good? To be lied to and to be deceived. And I came across a story. I thought it was pretty funny, pretty interesting. But in fact, I think I can tell it without that. There was a mom and a daughter, and they lived in London. And they had gone into town. They used a taxi. They went into town. And I think the daughter had to go to a dentist appointment. It was about 6 o'clock at night, and it was raining. So they're standing outside, and they're looking for a taxi. So they're like looking and looking and looking, and as they are looking, this small stature of a man, about in his 70s, a white mustache and white hair, came slowly walking up to them, kind of decrepitly like, but he had an umbrella over his head. And he said, excuse me, and I'm really in a pickle here. He probably didn't say pickle, but I'm in a jam here. He probably didn't say jam, but anyway, I'm in a fix. Let's just say he said fix, okay. And I really could use some help. And immediately the mother thought, he wants some money from me. He said, ma'am, I've really never done this too often. And I'm just getting so forgetful being older. And And I just forgot it. And she said, well, what did you forget? And, well, ma'am, I forgot my wallet. Oh, she immediately thought, he wants me to give him some money. Do you need some money, sir? Oh, no. I wouldn't ask you to do that at all. And you see, I walk into town every day. It's a part of my exercise. But I'm really too old to walk back home, so I always get a taxi to take me back home. But I left my wallet at home, and I just simply don't have enough money for a taxi. And so you want me to give you some money? Oh, no. It's raining here, and you don't have an umbrella, and I've got this umbrella, and I'd like for you, if you wouldn't mind, to just pay me what it would cost me in a taxi fare, a pound, to get back home, and I'll give you this umbrella. In fact, I paid over 20 pounds. It's a wonderful, great umbrella. And the mother is a little cautious about this and not sure about it, and they talk back and forth, and finally she says, why don't I just give you the pound, and you keep the umbrella? Oh, no, you, I wouldn't feel right about that. You take the umbrella for just a pound. So she agrees to do that, and she gets out her pound. She gives it to him, and he gives her the nice umbrella, and he kind of tips his hat and bows, and he walks away. He puts the umbrella over their head in the rain. So they watch him. He crosses the street walking kind of slow, but he starts walking just a little bit faster. The mom sees and goes, wow, that's interesting. The daughter says, Mom, he doesn't look near as, you know, old as he did. So she says to her daughter, let's follow him. So they cross the street and they follow him. He starts walking even faster. So they start walking faster. Before you know it, he's dodging in and around people, and he's even now almost running. So they're chasing him. So he goes into a building which had a big plate glass window. So they walk up to the window and they look in there and they see him. He walks in. It's pretty crowded. It's a bar. He walks in there and he hangs his hat up and he hangs his coat up, and they're watching, and he goes and he makes his way through the crowd and he sits up at the counter at the bar, and the bartender brings him a big, tall drink. So now the mom's kind of fuming just a little bit, and he drinks that thing down. It's, you know, all, I mean, it's gone. He sets his glass down. He takes out the pound, and he puts it there on the counter, and now she's really fuming. She says, that's my money. That's the money we gave him. He said he needed a taxi home. Let's go in there. No, let's watch. After a little bit, you know, he wipes his mouth, and he gets up and he goes back to where all the coats and the hats are hanging and all the wet umbrellas because it's raining outside. And they watch him. He puts his coat on, he puts his hat on, and he grabs another umbrella and heads out to do it again. Pretty smart old man, right? And they watched him. And sure enough, he found a young man. He went up to him and told him the same story. Deception. Getting deceived. Here's what the word deceive means. To mislead by false appearance or statement. To falsely persuade others. We use the word counterfeit. Make an imitation to pass off as genuine. And you've got to grab this to understand this passage. The first beast that Satan empowers is a political power, a throne, a dictator, using military power. They rise and they get defeated. They come and they go. It's just the if they're alive, then they die, then they're resurrected. It could be Germany here. It could be Italy here. It could be Russia here. It could be small countries. It can be all over the place. That's what Satan does. So we have beasts all the time, and we are awaiting the final one to come, which would, of course, have the final Antichrist in it. But now we have a second beast. This second beast is a religious power empowered by Satan that promotes the first beast, but this beast uses religion. The first beast is military power. This false prophet, the Bible calls him, promotes deception and worship of the military government power to fool people. One author said, beast one is the political sphere and beast two is the religious sphere. And that's a great way to look at it. Now, please, if this is still in your head that all of Revelation is way out there, hadn't happened yet, you got to take that and put that in the garbage. Now, some of it obviously is going to happen, but this is going on right now. There are beast one now and beast two now, awaiting the final ones. We, as God's people, are living with these two beasts right now. D.A. Carson said that this is Satan, quote, taking on the church in deception. So that's why the illustration of being deceived. Satan is a deceiving power that uses religion. All over Evansville today and all the surrounding area and the United States and in the world are churches gathering who are being deceived by Satan and the second beast. So let's look at this. We broke this up in a few points here today. We'll have them up on the screen. The first one is the second beast is influential, deceptive, and convincing. Now, our second words will stay the same in each point, but the first words will change. First of all, we want to see that the second beast is very influential. He influences people to be religious, but to not have the true Lamb of God. Look in verse 11 here. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It, gender neutral pronoun, it had two horns like a lamb, but how did it speak? It spoke like a dragon. It did not look like a dragon. It looked like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. Chapter 12 already told us the great red dragon is bloodthirsty. He's a murderer. He is a liar. He is full of great wrath, and he is out to destroy the true children of God. That's why the song that we just heard sung, God crushes us to grow us. Satan tries to crush us to defeat us. It is a constant thing that goes on. So you've got to grab this second beast, which is alive and well today. Religious deception looks like a cuddly little lamb, but inside it's a dragon. So I thought, how could I illustrate this? Can you imagine going up to your wife or your husband and, you know, you give them this wonderful bear hug and you say to them, I just want you to know that how much I love you. But while their mouth is saying, I love you, and their whole outwardness is saying, I love you, in their heart, they are saying, I want to devour you and cause you to suffer and to hurt you in any way I can. But it's your wife or husband, and they feel so warm and cuddly, and then they give you a little kiss on the cheek, and it's so wonderful. You see, that's what's going on here. The lamb is a deception by Satan to look like the lamb, to deceive people, to make them feel good, to make them feel religious, like everything is okay, but inside the lamb speaks like a dragon. How many people today think that they're on their way to heaven because they're actually hugging a dragon and not the lamb? This is a very powerful passage. In fact, the second beast in chapter 16, chapter 19, and chapter 20 is called a false prophet. Same thing. So we have a false prophet, preachers, trying to draw people to the first beast, which is against God and against Jesus. In fact, look at verse 14 of chapter 13. It says, he's allowed to have signs, work in the presence of the beast. It deceives those who dwell on earth. And remember in Revelation, the phrase dwell on earth is always talking about those who do not know the true Lamb of God. So this beast Satan, or the Satan dragon empowering these beasts, is trying to draw people away from the true lamb through deception. I lost my wallet. I need taxi fare. And he looks like a harmless little old man who just is wet and cold and needs a ride home. You see, you don't deceive by exposing yourself up front, do you? You don't let people know you're a dragon. If you're trying to get something from somebody, you lie to them, you look good, and then you put the dagger through. Someone said the devil is perfectly happy to have the whole world on a spiritual journey. That's true. Go to any nation in the world today who even reject the scriptures, and you will find that they are a very what? religious people. Last Sunday, I got called to the funeral home. Said, can you, we have a death call to make. Can you come and just, there's a funeral going on. It was a Buddhist funeral. And they were dressed up in their garb and everything. And they have all kinds of, they put white bandanas around them. The family did. And they're bowing three times and bowing. And I'm watching it on the monitor. And there's a little shaven head. They called it Buddha. There with their little, I think it was a girl, and she was in there, just chanting and chanting and chanting. And they're really good singers, by the way. But guess what? It looked very religious. They were giving sacrifices. I watched them. They brought ice cream in to sacrifice to their God. They brought all kinds of food in, and it looked religious, and there was a lot of bowing, and there was a lot of great singing. And I sat in there thinking, this is heartbreaking, because they are rejecting the Lamb of God. But the beast in our world says, no, that's okay. Worship how you want to worship. It doesn't really matter. We're all going to the same place. It's nothing but deception. It looked like a lamb, but inside that funeral home room was a group of people who were controlled by a dragon and by the beasts. And that's not popular in our day, is it? That would get me kicked out of a lot of churches, especially a lot of government arenas, and it's just not popular, but it's loving and it's truthful. There is no greater way to deceive people than through religion. Paul told us this, did he not, in 2 Corinthians? And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Paul says their end will not be glorious heaven. It will be where the devil and the beasts will be cast in, as we'll see in the end of Revelation. And it's not hard for the devil, because we are all created with a knowledge of God. If somebody says they're an atheist, they're lying. Romans 1 says every single person created in the image of God has within them a knowledge of a greater being. Now, they need more than that to be saved, but they are born with that. So if somebody says they're an atheist, they're really lying. According to the scriptures. But it's easy for the devil to deceive us, because we are all created worshiping beings. That's why all the nations worship somebody. We are worshipers. We will find something to worship. You know, maybe some people worship a red calf, or some people worship an idol in their home or their car or whatever. People were just naturally worshipers. So the devil plays on that and gets people away from the true lamb, because he looks like a lamb, but he's a dragon. And he does it through church. He does it through religion. That's how he tries to satisfy our religious itch. Hey, I did my time in church this morning. You know, it's like going to jail, isn't it? I did my time, and now I can go all week and I feel pretty good. I did my time. I held a candle at the candlelight service at Christmas. It was awesome. It was beautiful. I went to a candlelight service when I was a teenager. The auditorium was packed. The balcony was packed. The music was beautiful. The bell choir was just beautiful. The sermonette was very polished and professional. But not one word was spoken why Jesus came to redeem us from the wrath of the Father. There was no gospel. But boy, did that service look wonderful. That's not popular either. They'd kick me out if I said that there. And it was very sad. I was just a teenager, and I picked up on it. Very, Satan is no fool. Let me ask you this before we go on. Are you deceived today? It's kind of scary, isn't it? Maybe you're deceived today. But hang on. You can know how you're not deceived, but hang on. So the devil doesn't care if we're all on a spiritual journey. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care. Doesn't care if you give money to support a church or ministries or to give money to those who are hungry. He doesn't care if you pray. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He doesn't even care if you talk about a man named Jesus, as long as it's not the Bible Jesus. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if, like I said, you hold a candle on Christmas Eve, or, you know, that you say you believe in God. He doesn't really care about that. As long as you don't preach and hold to the biblical Jesus, the bloody Jesus, the Jesus on the cross, the Jesus who took the wrath of the Father to pay for your sin. As long as you don't hold to and preach to the fact that you are a needy, worthless, hopeless sinner apart from the blood of Christ and the resurrection, you're going to be damned forever. He doesn't care what you do religiously. But take a church, and we're thankful over Evansville, there are some good churches that still preach the gospel. You take churches that preach a bloody, dying Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, and faith and belief in that Jesus and repentance of sin, he begins to rise up. Someone said, Jesus Christ is where the devil stops. Believe in anything else, but not the biblical Jesus. The beast is happy if we feel religious with anything but Jesus. Not the Jesus you hear on radio shows and TV programs. Everybody loves Jesus, right? Everybody loves Jesus. But you have to make sure you are talking about the Bible Jesus. Our world teaches this Jesus today that he just loves everybody, right? Doesn't really care what you do. Change God's laws, he doesn't really care. Jesus never taught that marriage is between a man or a woman. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And the New Testament does teach Jesus upheld the exact same truth that God the Father. It's in the Gospels. It's as clear as can be. We cannot make up our own Jesus. Paul called it another Jesus, didn't he, in Galatians? There is no another Jesus. So first of all, he looks cuddly and huggable like a little lamb. You ever heard of baby lamb? Aren't they the cutest things? When they bat, did they bat? Or they are the cutest? I won't even try to imitate it. He looks like this cuddly, wonderful lamb, but he's a dragon, and he's deceptive and convincing and influential. All right, the second, not only is he influential, but he is very impressive. You know, we're not too impressive here, are we? I thought Abby's song was pretty impressive. The words were awesome, and even the way it was sung. You know, I mean, but most of, has anybody ever called you, Abby, and said, we want to put you on, I almost said Star Search. Well, that dates me, doesn't it? Star Search. Ed McMahon. Yeah, okay. What is it called today? America's Got Talent? Probably not, you know. People drive by here, you know, and I don't think we're too impressive. Like, hey, the world's getting changed inside that building. You see, the church really, most of the time, doesn't look too impressive. But let me tell you this. This lamb that's really a dragon can look very impressive. And that's what makes him so powerful. The word impressive means arousing admiration, respect, and awe, and wonder. And it moves people inside them. It's beyond what's normal. It's beyond the ordinary. Like an athlete who does an amazing thing. You know, whatever they performed, a musician or a builder. Or an inventor, or somebody who's been blessed with a brain that's like a genius, or they set some kind of record, wow, that's impressive. Wow, that is really impressive that you do that. This fake lamb looks very impressive, but remember, it's a dragon. And he's trying to fool people by religion to make people think when they die, God will let them in. That's called the broad road. The true lamb doesn't look very impressive. You walked by Jerusalem that day. You saw a thief over here and a thief over here and this flesh in the middle, blood dripping, beaten to a pulp. That's my king. Not very impressive, is it? What? You followed that guy? Huh, where are you at now? Well, just wait 3 days, right? See, the true lamb doesn't look too impressive. He didn't come with an army. He came as a babe in a manger, you know, they didn't have a doctor there, and he's born in a stable. I mean, it's not very impressive. His parents, Joseph had to work like crazy just to support him, and maybe they used the frankincense and the myrrh to help, you know, finance their way through the years, and never had much of anything. I don't have a place to lay my head, Jesus said, right? Our king doesn't look very impressive, but he will, right? Oh, he will. But this lamb looks very impressive. Now, Jesus did some impressive things, did he not? Oh, yeah. You walk on water, right? You go raise stinky Lazarus. He's going to stink. Don't raise him up. Get out of my way. Come forth. Jesus did some amazing, impressive things. But Isaiah said there was nothing in his person that would cause people to want to follow him. I think it was love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. I just wonder what he really looked like on the outside. What do the pictures all say? You know, just, you know, beautiful flowing hair. I think he might have looked like the nerd in seventh grade. I don't know. Well, Isaiah said there was nothing in his visage that we go, man, we got to follow. He's awesome. That's what people follow today. The charismatic voice, the wealthy, that's where people do. But the fake lamb looks very impressive. Look at verse 13. He performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven on earth. Probably a mimicking of what Elijah did. Remember the fire? It was at Mount Carmel and killed all the prophets. Satan always imitates what God did. So it's impressive. Let's see. He was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. So if the image of the beast might even speak, it might cause them who would not worship the image to be killed. So he does all of these impressive, and we'll talk about that in just a second. He does all of these impressive things to cause people to follow him in his religion and his deception in religion. In fact, the Jewish people couldn't fathom a Messiah dying. That's not our king. In fact, their encyclopedias actually say the Messiah cannot die. But he sure did, didn't he? I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1. We preach Christ crucified. He's a stumbling block to Jews. He's folly to Gentiles. He doesn't look like anything on that cross. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's the true lamb. But through satanic power here, or deception, he's very impressive and he fools people. I think some of it could be very real powers that Satan gives fake people, his servants, to do. Remember the magicians in Moses' day that repeated a lot of the things that God did till they got to certain ones they couldn't repeat? So there might be real satanic power or deception in false churches, the beast that promote the number one beast and false religion. He used every means possible to persuade and convince people. In fact, history's full of this, and that's what I think this verse is talking about, where they would make images and they would make little rooms in the back so people would get inside them. They could make fake blood flow from their eyeballs and they could make groaning sounds and fake images or power or life inside a fake beast. It's all through history they have done that. Have you ever noticed whenever some of these nations that get toppled over, what's one of the first things that people do that were oppressed? You see it on the TV. Shoot them, yeah. Remember when Iraq was overthrown, you saw the crowds tying ropes and things to what? The statue. You see it all the time. They're always pulling down images. Oh. And isn't it amazing that these nations that especially judge and try to kill Christians always promote images of themselves? I believe in North Korea, you are made to have a picture and an image of their supreme leader in every house. Isn't it amazing that through these powers that especially hate Christianity, images always go along with it? And we could think of some, couldn't we? The Nazi image and so forth. So the beast is very big, excuse me, on making images. And in our day, with electronics and stuff, oh, it's so easy to make things look real that are truly fake. They could put you, if they had a photo of you, in the scene of a crime and probably prove you were there and you were never there. That's kind of scary, isn't it? It's amazing what they can do on computers today. So anyway, he has this great power to look impressive, to use whatever power that he has been given. In fact, Romans 1 says that those that reject God make images. out of birds and creeping things. Instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship creation. And today in our culture, people worship planet Earth. We have Earth Day. And there's nothing wrong with being a good steward, right? We should be. We shouldn't destroy our planet. You know, I don't want to go outside and smell trash and stuff, you know. And it's nice to have green grass. We should be good stewards, but we don't worship it. We don't kill babies and save a tree. But that's our country, is it not? That's where we worship creation rather than the Creator. I want to, before we move to the next point, listen to Deuteronomy 13. Listen to this. God warned his people long time ago. This is amazing. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 13:1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder that he tells you, it comes to pass. If he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, we're not going to do that today, right? We're not going to go out and stone somebody. Because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who redeemed you out of the house of slavery. So what's the point there? There are satanic empowered people through true power or deception that can say things, and they may come true. There's going to be a dark moon on the 15th, and it's going to get dark. And by goodness, it happens. We got to follow that guy. But then out of their mouth comes dragon talk. They look like a lamb. Yeah, but he told us this was going to happen, and blood came out of the eyeballs, and, you know, there was a shadow, and it looked like Mary, and it looked like Mary holding Jesus. Do you see those on Facebook? I put a piece of bread in the toaster, and out came a picture of Mary. Oh, my heart. Oh! You see that all the time. If something happens, and they say it, and they begin to draw you away from the bloody Jesus, do not follow them. Yeah, but it came true. Big deal. Satan has power to make things come true. Very, very important. Impressive does not mean impressive by God's power. All right, quickly, thirdly, not only is he impressive, deceptive, and deceiving, he is inflamed, deceptive, and deceiving. Please note that he looks like a lamb, and he has a cute little baa, but he's a dragon with fire coming out. Inflame means to incite or rouse to violence. So the goal here of the religious beast is to get you off of the, to keep people from the narrow road, to get you to stay on the broad road, and to destroy followers of Jesus. And again, America, we're an anomaly. We really are. We have been super blessed by God. Now, we suffer and can be persecuted, and it's coming, but not like other nations we see. And it's just an anomaly that God has preserved us, I believe, so we can hold the gospel and send missionaries out. But he hates us. He's inflamed. Look at verse 15 back in Revelation. It was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. So if you don't follow the worldly system and you rebel in certain countries and nations, which has been ever since there's been a universe, a creation, Satan's world system will try to persecute you and even kill you. It's happening even today in our world today. It's inflamed. It wants to destroy you. Now we arrive to some verses that talk to 20 different people, you get 20 different interpretations, but this morning you're going to hear the exact right one, right? Seeing if you're still awake here. Very few agree, and I think some have gone off the deep end on this and totally miss the message of the passage. Look at verse 16. It also causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, everybody to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. All right, let's see if we can figure this out real quick. Satan is trying to mimic God and the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So you have Satan, you have the first beast, you have the second beast. You got an unholy Trinity. He's always imitating, trying to do what Jesus has done and what God the Father has done. Look down in chapter 14, verse 1, which is our next week's passage. I looked and behold on Mount Zion, and there stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. This is a spiritual, invisible marking. We do not have a gold-plated tattoo on our head that says, Jesus Christos Theos, Jesus Christ God, or Patras, the Father. It's not there. It's an invisible mark. Ezekiel talked about that. We've also seen this early in Revelation. You are marked as God's child. It's an invisible marking. You and I'm looking at either you're all unsaved or I'm right. Because I don't see a gold tattoo on you anywhere on your forehead. This is symbolic of God saying, these are my children. And we'll see more of that next week. So what does Satan, the counterfeit deceiver, deceptive, influential, and powerful evil dragon do? He imitates God. So his followers also receive a mark. Here are a few suggestions before I tell you what it is. Some say it's a social security number. You heard that? Well, if that's true, guess what? We've all got the mark. I'll see you in hell, right? Some say it's a social security number. We all have a social security number. No. I've heard it say it's the barcodes on products. You know, you take this one, it comes out to 666. Is that what it is? How about the number 666? I was in a room a couple of weeks ago, and the phone number to a nurse was something 666. And somebody else says, I'm calling that number. Give it to me. I'll call that number. I'm not afraid of 666. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But some are afraid of the number 666. Some have said it's a computer chip. They put a computer chip in you. And that way, if you're at Walmart, where's Scott Barnhart at? He's at Walmart, aisle 17. He's with the cookies. He says, not the cookies. I see him every day. Let's see. Where's Kenny and Dottie at? They're at the Chinese restaurant. Kenny's going back for some egg rolls and some crab ragu. That sounds about right. And you've probably heard that. It's a computer chip. Guess what? My dog has a computer chip in him right now. There's a little green paint right here that they let you know at the vet. Little green paint. Guess what, folks? They can tell where you are right now without a computer chip. You got a phone. If your setting's not right, they can find where you are. Is it a computer chip? Isn't it interesting that some people are let out of jail and they put an electronic tracking device on them? Yeah, they put it on their ankle. So if they go outside the boundary, oh, Joseph McAtella, he's outside. Bring him back to jail. Is that what it is? I've heard a universal credit card. You got one of those? You know, you can use it wherever you go. Hundreds of others. Now listen, it would not surprise me if some nations would use that kind of thing. Sure. In fact, through history, they've already done it. I don't remember when it was, but it was the Jewish people, and they were actually branding them. And if you refused, you were put to death or thrown in jail. So nations have done that. That's not new. I would not be surprised if future false prophets and beasts, 1 and 2, didn't push that. Sure, that just makes sense. We see it in our day today, right? It's easy to find people. It's very hard to hide from people. But let me tell you what I think it is. I believe it's simply a mimicking of what God has done. I do not believe it's a barcode or a social security card or a computer chip, though an evil nation could do all of that. In fact, they track you now. I believe it's just like what God has done. It's simply an invisible mark, symbolic of you are following Satan's world system, beast number one, beast number two. You are head over heels following anti-biblical truth. Does that make sense? You're following falsehood. Yeah. Every anti-biblical is not truth. Yeah, there is no truth. So it's just simply you're following the world system, the prince and the power of the air. You don't need a visible mark. I can see it in you right now. I've been thrust back into a workaday world for 40 hours a week, and I'm around it every day. And it's amazing how I can just, it's amazing what I see. Arguing and jealousies and the following the worldly beast. It's simply not a visible mark. It's a way of acting. In fact, all through these passages, it's the way you act determines who you belong to. It may be economic suffering, which we'll see next week. And also, like we saw in the seven churches. It might be martyrdom, which we saw in Antipas and Smyrna in chapter 2, verse 10. So, how do you know if you're a follower of Jesus? How do you act? What are your priorities? What do you love? What do you care about? What dictates your life? When we sang these songs today, my heart was just, oh, thank you, Lord, for being my Savior and Christ alone. I take my stand. No fear in life, no fear in death. This is the power of God in me. Did that thrill your heart? Would that thrill a heart of 1,000 Buddhists? No. They might chant you straight to hell, right? I don't know. I shared the time I preached Jesus Christ, and a Jehovah's Witness family was taking a whole seat at the funeral home, and I was told about them ahead of time. And the minute I got to that point, every one of them got up and left. And I said, that saddened me, but I was thankful that I preached it clear enough that they knew exactly what I was talking about. The mark of the beast. So how do you know you've got the mark? Who do you follow? What do you love? What's your passion in life? So now we get to the last verse for the very last point. Verse 18. Here's another doozy, right? This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast for the number of a man. His number is 666. Ooh, right? I'm sure there have been movies made about 666. And it's very possible John's original readers knew exactly who John was talking about. Some believe it might have been Nero, and it's very possible because he would have been beast number one to them at that time. The Roman church would have been beast number two, and possibly the Jewish church too. Very possible. Some believe that it is ambiguous on purpose, deliberately. Because beasts come and go, come and go. They rise, they fall. They resurrect, they die. They resurrect, they die. That's where I land. I believe the 666 is a number depicting, in fact, let's stop here. What's the number of completeness in Revelation and all through the Bible? Seven. So, that would make God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit 777. Some have said it's 888, and we won't get into that, but 777. So if you take one away from seven, what number is that? Six. So that would be one less of what? Completeness and perfection. And if you have the devil and the first beast and the second beast, you have not perfection, but imitators who are just shy or way shy of God. But underneath that, 666. That makes perfectly good sense. It doesn't make for a great movie. It doesn't make for, you know, really fantastic visuals and stuff. But that's what I think it is. I think it is simply a way of saying this, that this false beast who deceives through religion, who destroys through national and military power is not God. He is short, short, short. He falls short of God's kingdom. 666. That's the name. So I'm not afraid of the number 666 at all. That's where I lean. If you lean differently, we'll get you a tattoo next week. All right. Sorry. You're awake? Okay. All right. But just know that Satan is inflamed. He's inflamed. He's deceptive and he's convincing. And if you follow Christ, you're going to suffer. Again, America's an anomaly, but it's coming. We can see it little by little, can't we? It's becoming easier and easier just to kill babies, isn't it? Just getting easier. Getting easier and easier to just agree with anti-biblical teachings in our nation. And you say, no, I'm not going to follow that. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. It's going to get worse and worse because he hates you with a passion. All right, the last point. We're going to try to land this plane here. What do we do, class? Wisdom against this beast. And this isn't a very long point. Look at verse 18. What's this all call for? It calls for wisdom. If there's a dragon who is out to deceive you, to make you think you're saved and you're not, well, you better raise up and say, this calls for wisdom. This calls for wisdom. That's the conclusion, I think, of this passage. Why do we need wisdom? Because dragons look like lambs. There are dragons who have huge churches that are on TV every week and people watch it and think, I'm okay. And you'll never hear repentance. Or you'll hear the name Jesus and you'll hear some Bible stories, but you will not hear the wrath of God. You will not hear repentance. You will not hear that there's a hell and your soul's going to go there. You just won't hear that, but you'll feel good. You'll learn how to feel good and have a positive attitude at work tomorrow or at work in 45 minutes when I get there. Man, I feel good. I went to church. I feel good. No, no, no. Right? You know, you'll feel great. And by the way, there are some good ones on TV, good teaching. But dragons look like lambs, and lambs can bite and devour like dragons. So what do we do? What's wisdom? Here it is, very simple. And this is like a broken record, isn't it? We must know truth. That's it. That's what protects you from the deception. You got to know truth. Our culture craves and is craving more and more emotion and experiences. In fact, many churches advertise, come to our church, it's an experience. Listen, I love it when my heart is moved in a song or in a passage. I love that. Or a testimony. But I don't come for an experience. I come for God's truth. Truth. Tell me aletheia, the Greek word for truth, reality. I need to hear truth. And the wisdom against this great deceptive little lamb. Satan had a little lamb, right? Fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that the church went, the lamb was sure to go. Truth. You will not defeat the beast with little truths sprinkled here and there, you know, like a topping of a salad. He's deceptive. You can hug him and he's laughing the whole time. We must know the truth. You got to be saved by the truth. It's the gospel. It's the slain lamb. We are worthless. We are hopeless. There's nothing good in me. I deserve hell. I can never earn it. Jesus earned it for me. That's the gospel. And we always leave out the resurrection. It's a shame we only talk about the resurrection at Easter. I think that's a satanic plan. I do. Because it's the resurrection that separates fundamental Christianity from everything else, right? Those Buddhists, your leader's dead. Dead. Muhammad's dead. And you name anybody else who you're following, they're dead. My bloody, beaten, murdered king's alive. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants to deceive. It's the gospel that saves, the bloody Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, not this wimpy Jesus that the world is teaching today that just loves everybody and you're okay and I'm okay and you can come into heaven unless you're Hitler or something like that. Now, I guess according to them, there's only like 12 people in heaven or hell, I guess, you know, everybody else. It's amazing the funerals I do. I'll do a funeral for somebody. I mean, they were party animals. I mean, evil, downright evil, but I hear their loved ones, you know, they're with grandma today in heaven. They're with Uncle Bob who went last year. And I don't sit there and laugh at that. It's sad. It's horrible. And then I get up and I preach the gospel. It's sad. See, the world believes that, you know, pretty much if you die, you go to heaven. If you die, will you go to heaven? Are you just religious? Do you just come to church? We must have every thought filtered through truth, even if you see a bumper sticker. You ever see these neat sounding bumper stickers that look so good? I always look at them and go, that's not biblical. But they sure sound good. You know what Jesus said to his church in the prayer to his Father? I'll word it through the Greek words, set apart my church in the truth. Your word is truth. That's Jesus' heart. God, take my church and set them apart for you in truth. That's why we take time going through scripture passages and why it takes a little time to get through it. And we don't just try to do a little 8-minute sermonette and make you feel good. Because it is only truth that will keep us victorious when it gets worse and worse and worse. I want to share, and I'm going to close, and so hang on. Just a couple of thoughts. And I thought this was amazingly timely. Talking about China today. I remember we're talking about the two beasts, nations and thrones and military power against God, out to kill us, and the religious beast that promotes that out to slay us as well. The deceptive lamb that's really a dragon. There's a pastor in China who said in his sermon, if tomorrow morning the early rain covenant church, that's the church, suddenly disappeared from the city of Chengdu, if each of us vanished into thin air, would this city be any different? Would anyone miss us? Now, some of these names I can't pronounce, okay, said the pastor, leaning over his pulpit and pausing to let the question weigh on his audience. His answer was, I don't know. Almost 3 months later, the police arrested 100 of these church members. This is just today, folks. Many of those who haven't been detained are now in hiding. Others have been sent away and barred from returning. The preacher and his wife are being charged for inciting subversion. That guy was just doing what I'm doing this morning. A crime that carries a penalty for up to 15 years in prison. Would I do this if that was could happen to me? By God's grace, I hope I would. Would you be here if it could happen to you? It's happening today, folks. The dragon's alive, the beast alive today. Let's see. Now the hall that he preached from sits empty. The pulpit and the cross that once hung behind him are gone. Prayer cushions have been replaced by a ping pong table and a film of dust. The new tenants are a construction company and a business association occupy the 3 floors the church once rented. Plainclothes policemen stand outside, turning away those who are looking for the church. The government has orchestrated a campaign to sinicize, I had looked that up, that means to make everything Chinese in character or influence, to sinicize Christianity, to turn Christianity into a fully domesticated religion that would do the bidding of the party. Revelation 13. Isn't that amazing? We want religion to do the bidding of the state, said a professor at Duke University who focuses on Christianity in modern China. Over the past year, local governments have shut hundreds of unofficial congregations or house churches down. A statement signed by 500 house church leaders in November says authorities have removed crosses from buildings, forced churches to hang the Chinese flag, symbols, images, sing patriotic songs, and barred minors from even coming. Officials have banned 1,500 members of the Zion Church in Beijing. The Chinese Communist Party wants to be the God of China and the Chinese people, Revelation 13. The government is scared of the churches, the dragon and Revelation 13. Just a couple more. The goal of the crackdown is not to eradicate religions, said the director of the Christian Studies Center at the University of Hong Kong. It is to establish a new order on religion. Revelation 13. Wow, isn't that amazing? He aims to regulate the religious market as a whole. Just a couple more examples. One of the goals of a government work plan for promoting Chinese Christianity between 2018 and 2022 is thought reform. The plan calls for retranslating and annotating the Bible to find commonalities with socialism and establish a correct understanding of the Bible text. Isn't that deception? We're not going to get rid of the Bible. We're just going to change it a little bit. Revelation 13. One more. I think this is an amazing testimony of this church. On New Year's Eve, 300 people joined an online service, some from their homes, others from cars or workplaces, to pray for 2019. Others in this church gathered in small groups in restaurants and in parks. One member, a student who was sent back to the city, said he preaches the gospel to the police who follow him around. And I read that last thing, I thought, isn't that amazing? Why is that church so alive? You know why? They're being persecuted. So here it is, New Year's Eve, and the church says, we need to pray for the upcoming year. We can't meet in our building. There's a ping pong table there. We don't want to play ping pong. So what does this church do? Some of them get in cars in parking lots. Some of them are at a restaurant. They kind of gather to pray. Some of them are out in the woods. Some of them sneak over to other people's houses. And they simply pray. And I thought, why aren't we like that? Great question, isn't it? What if I said, we're going to pray on New Year's Eve. We're not going to meet at the building. Get with people and meet them wherever you want to. Down by the river, in a hotel, parking lot, wherever. Would you go? There's something about persecution that sort of makes us realize, this is serious stuff, isn't it? The beasts are alive and well today, aren't they? Do you know this Christ of the Bible? Are you, if you died today, are you sure you're following Jesus, the bloody Jesus, the resurrected Jesus? Or are you just being religious? What does your life say about who you are, who you follow? Always look at your life and never, ever feel comfortable with your place in heaven. Every day, watch yourself. Because this dragon empowers people to look like a lamb, cuddly and lovable, but it's deceptive. Are you praying for your kids? Praying for your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your neighbors, your coworkers, as they are on the broad road with a smile on their face, walking directly into hell. Father, these passages are unsettling. They're scary, frightening. Yet you said these things are written that you might know that we have eternal life. What a wonderful promise that we can know. God, give us a heart for the true Jesus in this world we live. For those being persecuted all over our planet today, keep them strong and faithful. And give them grace as they're sitting in prisons and being beaten and separated from their families. Reach many by their testimony. And Lord, somehow help us to realize and know this is not pretend stuff. We live here now. Lord, if there's anyone in our church that has been fooled by the dragon and they're just religious and they've never repented of their sin, they've never said, this is my lamb, I'm following him. Only you can open their heart. Open their heart now and save their soul. Help us, Lord, to live for you. In Christ's name, amen.